a new documentary is shining a light on a living legend. It's called Maurice Hines, Bring Them Back. It focuses on Maurice and his younger brother, Gregory, who performed together as the Hines brothers. They were not only pioneers of tap dance, but pioneers of performance, period. The documentary paints an intimate portrait of the peaks and valleys of Maurice's seven-decade career and his life, with and without his famous sibling by his side. As I said, Maurice is a living legend. He's 78 today, and this documentary follows the charismatic performer during this later period of his life. The documentary premieres on February 8th on Starz, but if you can't wait, it's already available on demand on the Starz app. To dive deeper into this conversation, I'm joined by Tracy E. Hopkins, a longtime entertainment journalist who wrote and produced the film. Tracy, welcome to Culture Shift.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by John Carluccio, who directed and edited the film, among other things. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, let's go ahead and set the scene. You know, if you're talking to someone and they don't know who Maurice Hines is, I mean, how do you begin to explain what he did and his role in stage performance?
Well, we would say Maurice, a lot of people may be more familiar with his brother, Gregory. But we would say that Maurice actually, you know, was the glue in the Hines brothers, because he's an older brother. And so as it's been explained to us, like, he got the tap lessons first, and then Gregory, wanting to follow his older brother, you know, started tapping with him. So we'll say that, you know, if you love Gregory Hines, there is no Gregory without Maurice. And Maurice in his own right is a star of stage. He, you know, started in UB and did his own Broadway productions, including Hot Feet, Uptown Is Hot, and Tapping Through Life. So Maurice, like you said, is a living legend. And we'll just say, like, yeah, he's a living legend in tap and Broadway.
And, that term triple threat comes out a lot, you know, singer, dancer, actor. But he's also a outspoken, senior African-American man who's also openly gay. So it's like he's a triple threat to whoever way you want to put it. Depends on what you find threatening. But Maurice is a lovable guy that is very vocal and not afraid to, and unapologetically him. And that's really, he's a very unique person.
Yeah.
So, John, you could turn your lens on any subject you wanted. What was some of the decision-making and thought process of saying it's time to tell Maurice's story and really dive into this topic?
Well, I met him through a mutual friend, and he selected me, but he was also just sort of I said, this is an amazing story. And I was really fascinated by the brother relationship. I felt like that was I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in people who don't even have siblings, the creative partnerships that you start when you're very young, or maybe high school or college age, and then they disappear. And the mourning of that, I found to be a pretty compelling through line to the film that he carried. And the fact that folks know that Gregory passed away, he's also carrying the loss of a brother and that period of time that they didn't share together. So I found that to be a strong story. On top of it, just seeing all the material that documents the brothers. They performed together as Hines and Dad with their father on TV shows in the 70s. They appeared on Tonight Show. They obviously did Broadway together. And then Gregory did so much without Maurice, and rightfully so, because he was a star in his own right. It did, you know, all the show business, all the Hollywood stuff. And while Maurice stayed more locally on Broadway here in New York. But seeing all this archival stuff, especially a film called The Cotton Club by Francis Ford Coppola, where they played brothers, helped me. It made it clear to me that I could illustrate this story. Often in documentaries, especially stories about people that have a rich history or a rich past, you're stuck with people just talking heads and you're trying to find a way to illustrate it. And me, I love archives. I come from much more of this kind of hip hop sampling kind of world. And I like rich material from the past and recontextualizing it. So I saw a real ripe opportunity to put some of the footage of Maurice and Gregory together or apart as a way. I could see that I could put just those clips together with some commentary from Maurice's friends and family and be able to illustrate this story or illustrate what was missing, which was even harder at times because there's a lot of things that go unsaid. So,
yeah, with that sort of, you know, hip hop mentality of sampling and using archives and splicing it with his story today and talking today in the later years of his life and his mid to late 70s, you can kind of match the rhythm that they brought on stage. And one thing that runs throughout this documentary is aging and loss in funny ways and sad ways, obviously. One of the funny ways is when Maurice is tap dancing across the stage and he says, "Let me know when you stop filming. I'm 73. I'm going to do this for as long as I can as the cameras roll." So kind of that showmanship still very much alive, even now that he's 78. And I'm curious, you know, is he at the point of his life where he's like, you know what? I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to get this out there and put it all out there.
What do you think, Jay?
I think so like John said, the project was introduced to him through a friend of a friend who had worked with Maurice as his dresser on Broadway and also a driver. So I think, you know, that person and other people in his life knew, okay, this is a great story you have, Maurice. You should really share this story. And Maurice is very quick to always put the spotlight on Gregory. Like, oh, you know, my brother's so great. My brother did this. And even in the film, you know, we have people like our executive producer, Charles Randolph Wright, who also directed Maurice at Arena Stage in DC. So he considers him a mentor and he always had to remind Maurice, no, but you've done great things too. So I would say that Maurice, just because he took a liking to John and just was like, okay, this guy's gonna come and film me. I'm not really sure what this is gonna turn out to be, but I'll roll with it. So I think he was willing to take that step. I really don't think he thought of it as like, oh, now is my time to share this story. But I think he was just like, willing to do it and then pleasantly surprised with the outcome, especially with how much of it is also a celebration of his family. So I think, yeah.
I mean, part of the challenge was Maurice is a well-rehearsed performer. And, you know, I mean, those dance steps that he does at this, you know, that you said the 73, that's on the Apollo stage and it's part of the opening credits. And he's been doing those since he was 5 and 6, you know, and some of those clips, some of the dance steps, you know, are things that he are just so ingrained in him that he can just go to. And that's also a lot of about how he carries himself in interviews and stuff is he's a stage man, a showman that wants to please the audience. So sometimes on camera, he's like, oh, there's a camera on me. Let me tell you some stories that I've told a million times. Let me make you happy. Let me, you know, and I found myself trying to shift him out of that because everyone's heard those stories. I actually found like multiple times that he would tell me a story and I already had done my research. He's like, oh, this is the same story he told Merv Griffin or he told Johnny Carson or whatever it is. And I was just like, okay, I don't need that story. So I'd have to sort of really take him off tempo or off beat and get him a little uncomfortable to kind of say what's really going on. And once in a while you hear my voice off camera doing that. But the other part of it was, I find that as someone who makes a living as a cameraman, I would find that it was more interesting what was going on off camera or after yell cut and, or just the making of it, the kind of the realness of what is happening. So I made a point of really trying to document what was going on behind the scenes in a way. I don't know if that makes sense, but you've seen the film and you can see that there are moments that are kind of like, you would think that tell more about Maurice without him saying any words. And so that's how I tried to do it, to make sure that it felt like what I like to call, like, you know, what people call verite filming or observational cinema. I didn't want to make a talking head film.
Some of that tension, I guess, that you bring up of getting uncomfortable. I mean, some of that runs throughout it is the personal relationship and the creative relationship between these two brothers, Right. And that sort of that dynamic. I mean, can you try to explain that relationship between them and how that ebbed and flowed throughout their lives?
It seems that, you know, well, John has siblings. I'm an only child. So this really hit home for him in a way that it didn't resonate with me. But, you know, it could be like you have a falling out with a close friend, even if you don't have a sibling. So from when they were really young, they seemed really close. I mean, they started tap dancing together from age like 5 and 7.
Something like that.
You know, so, and like I said, like Maurice being the older brother, like Gregory really looked up to him and kind of looked to him to take the lead. And I think that was their relationship, like very, for a long time during their family act as the Hines brothers and even in Hines, Hines and Dad. But I think that when, as we have Gregory's first wife in the film saying, when Gregory got married and, you know, as he started to mature and had a child, he wanted to distance himself or like, kind of like reclaim his power, take his power as a person and leave the family act. And I think that was the shift where like Gregory's like, I'm growing up or I'm my own man now and I want to separate. And even though Maurice could understand that, it kind of left him in a position of like, well, what do I do now? Like my whole life was this family act. So who, you know, where do I go? So I think just working together and, you know, being siblings is just, that could cause a lot of conflict. And so I think that kind of was their relationship on and off, like how do we balance that being, you know, family, but also working together and having different goals as far as a career.
Right. And I would add that it's one of those things when you're so connected to someone for so long and they're no longer kind of in your circle or you're not speaking or, and people say, well, how's your brother? How's it going? And you have to sort of say, well, that's, you know, you don't get into details because it's just like, that's his business and it's not important. But when you're in a public eye, it's even more dramatic. It's really, and I could tell that Maurice was sort of had to bite his tongue a little, but yeah, I think it's just, that's the tension of it between those guys. And everyone, they were very different. And that was the other thing. Like they were, Gregory and Maurice are really different people and they've respected each other's differences as creative people, but they obviously didn't get along for a period of time. And that's something that stuck with him. And he mourned that while he was alive in a way, you know what I mean? So that's a very sensitive topic. And it's interesting to see how his friends also had to navigate that area, like how much they wanted to know and how much they didn't want to take sides and things like that.
At what stage of their relationship were they at in this terms of growth and separation and you know, Gregory becoming more of an individual and stepping out on his own? Where were they at in that part of their relationship when they actually see art imitating life and play tap dancing brothers in the film The Cotton Club in 1984?
Well, it's kind of like this. It's like, okay, so they grew up in the 50s. In the 60s, they're on TV as the Hines brothers. In the 70s, or it's late 60s, early 70s, they're Hines, and Dad. So by about 72, Gregory's like, I'm done with this. I'm moving to Venice Beach. I'm going to become a hippie. I'm not even going to tap dance, he was talking about. And Maurice was like, wait a second, I'm still going to move forward. I am a dancer. And Maurice continued his growth while Gregory moved into music. And then eventually, so that breakup was kind of the impulse of what Francis Ford Coppola kind of referred to in the film for the Cotton Club. So that was more of a business breakup. There was a bit of a personal thing, but it wasn't like a big riff. So that's the first breakup. And then later on, Maurice brings him back for a Yubi. And then they work together on Yubi. They're doing their thing. But Gregory really, he shines on Broadway. And then by the time the Cotton Club film happens, the irony is that Maurice brought Gregory into the UBI for Broadway. And then the reverse happens where Gregory brings Maurice into the Cotton Club. He's like, I got this role. They're talking about brothers. You should be in here with me. So they're back together for, but what Coppola picked up on was this, these guys had a breakup and he knew that there was this tension and also there was tension going on at that time. And so soon after the Cotton Club, which is 1984, 85, something like that. They don't speak for many years. And I think it's even more than 10 years as Maurice would say, but, and that's sort of the timeline, how things kind of played out. It was years later. I don't want to, you know, I don't think it's a spoiler, but they, you know, they do eventually get back together and get to, you know, and there is some joy there. And that's why it's almost like sometimes that's a big part of the story. But that's the journey that, you know, you go through these tough times and you put certain things aside. So
I would just have to imagine trying to put myself in these tap dancing shoes, right? Your older brother brings you back for UBI on stage, but you end up getting the Tony nom, right?
Yeah.
Maurice
yeah.
does not get it. And then also in the Cotton Club for Gregory, it was way more of, I'm not going to say a breakout, but it did more for his career than it did for Maurice.
Well, he was a lead. Yeah, he was, yeah. In fact, Coppola said that film, there was a lot of pressure for that to be like, Godfather 3 or something like that, because it was like he had done all the great Godfather films and obviously he's an incredible director, but they wanted more gangster stuff in there, and the story is he wanted to do it as the brothers of Richard Gere and Nicolas Cage, which is in
wow.
there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what Nicolas Cage is. And then, you know, and then the other brothers, like, and doing sort of more of a parallel two stories, two different brothers. And it ended up being so morphed by Hollywood and the pressures that he was under with the studios that it became much more of a gangster film. And Richard Gere is this guy who's playing jazz in Harlem. And it just, he ended up remastering it and it's called the Cotton Club Encore. And Maurice did some additional work that you see in the film and went to the, you know, the premiere at Telluride in 2017. But it has much more musical elements, and it was more of a musical, but at the time when that came out, like a movie like Chicago and all the musical craze that kind of rebirthed after Chicago, the film, that didn't fall into it. Musicals in cinema were pretty unpopular at the time. So that's why he had to cut out so many musical numbers and he ended up putting them back. So actually you can catch Cotton Club Encore is also available somewhere online. You know, you can watch it to see how we sampled that that film.
Before we start talking about, you know, what you want viewers to take away from this documentary and sort of the legacy that you hope is preserved out there for these brothers and Maurice in particular, I do want to go back to the beginning, you know, when they make that Broadway debut in 1954 and what their experience was like, really as black performers on Broadway and how that experience shaped them and who they ended up being down the road.
So in 1954, they're young kids and they can't get casted in The Girl in Pink Tights. This is not in the film, but this is part of their backstory. And Maurice, and that's a Gigi, how do you say her name? French ballerina, Gigi Jamère, maybe something like that. Very popular at the time, predates me. There's a lot of ballet elements, and Maurice was really inspired by that. And he later tells us, like, this is something that's why he wanted to get into ballet, which you see in the film. These guys were, you know, they had some success in little bit pieces of show business. And then eventually they eventually got the whole thing with Hines and Dad.
Right, but to your question, so Maurice, like, actually, when we talk to him about, you know, his experience with race or racism, you know, during his career, especially like in his earlier career, he, you know, I think because they were showbiz kids to a certain extent, maybe they were sheltered from some of it and didn't experience it in a way that maybe older performers at the time did. But I mean, he does acknowledge, like when he's like in the film, he says like, when he's in Ubi and Beyond, like that the Black dancer, the Black actor experiences racism. And he was very vocal about that. So as he grew older, I think he, you know, he understood it more and he was more willing to speak out against it. And he acknowledges in the film that, you know, probably his outspokenness, you know, probably hindered his career, whereas Gregory knew how to play it cooler. I mean, that's just a difference in their personality too. Maurice is very like, no, I'm gonna tell it like it is, and Gregory's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna underplay, I can play the game. But Maurice's personality in that way, being vocal and speaking out, like maybe part of the reason why he didn't have the same amount of success that Gregory did. And also the fact that he's, you know, an openly gay Black man during a time when that really is not something that, you know, Hollywood embraced.
Yeah, I think it's always an important aspect to talk about because it's a reminder that no one's experience is this monolithic experience, right? So, you know, these two brothers, performing together on stage together, similar career lines for a certain amount of time, but approaching it different ways and having different experiences with that. This is another thing that documentary, I think, does bring home. And, you know, as we bring this conversation home, what do you hope, you know, as the writer, producer, director, being involved in this film, what do you hope people take away from it or learn about Maurice and this family?
I hope that people just come away if you don't know Maurice, like, for one, it's just like a heartwarming, feel-good story about an elder, you know, who is doing what he loves. So it's a celebration of that, like Black excellence and giving an elder his flowers while he's still here. But then you'll also learn about just the legacy of the Hines family, of Maurice, and just their importance in Black dance. And yeah.
Yeah, and I think a big part of it is community. Maurice, you know, he plays to a crowd and wants the audience to love him. And in the end, in a lot of ways, the people around him rally to him when he's not doing well toward the end of the film. You know, he's getting older. He's mourning his brother. He's seeing changes in life. And I think that's the big story, and understanding that, you know, the people around you that saw you rise, if you're good to them and they, you know, you have a lot of, and you love them the way he loves his audience. And I don't mean just audience, his really close friends, a lot of these actors and chorus people, and that community will tell you that they love you back. And that's a valuable thing to have when you're turning 75, as it happens in the film. So I think that kind of melancholy sweetness is in the film, and also the fact that Maurice will kind of all of a sudden just burst into something funny, really, like, We'll take you out of, like, there are moments in the film where there's bursts of tap and there's bursts of comedy. And I hope that energy, you know, is something that transcends and people enjoy.
Yeah, he's no doubt a compelling subject to profile. And that's what John Carluccio did as the director of this new documentary called Maurice Hines, Bring Them Back. We're also joined by Tracy E. Hopkins, longtime entertainment journalist who wrote and produced this film. It is now streaming on the Stars app. It's going to be premiering on February 8th. So if you want to go home, you heard this conversation, you're like, all right, I need to watch that right now, you can do so, or catch that premiere on February 8th on Stars. John and Tracy, thank you so much for joining us on Culture Shift.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thanks, man.